Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, Natasha, as people start to learn more and more about your background and your passion, you know, you grew up in a family that came here to the United States and was making yogurts and different kinds of these fermented wonderful foods, and you broke away, which was a very unique situation, to follow your passion, to take it to the next level where you wanted to go. How hard was the breaking away process?
It was very hard because I was stripped of all the money. I was left with no money, really no future. And it was a very, you know, I was sort of like a ship's put to sail on my own. Thank God for my husband and the fact that we both love concepts and love doing great things together. But literally, I was on my own. And, you know, I'm a great believer that, you know, God has a destiny for all of us. And I knew in my gut that I had to do this, that really I had no choice. That this was so important for human health and the direction of human health for the next century, that really, if nobody else was willing to do it, then it was my job to do it.
Now, let me ask you a question. As you broke away, that was just the very, very beginning of the information and the necessity and the research and translation of books, from what I understand, as well as the concept and all of the scientific start was just starting. I mean, it was great to have this wonderful background and the knowledge and the education, but this was square one.
It was square one because while I was still with my family, I had my connections through UCLA and I was able to obtain microfishes from behind the Iron Curtain. At that time, there was an adversarial exchange of ideas between the Soviet Union and the United States. And so I was able to get dozens of articles out from Russia at that point on the beneficial effect of Lactobacillus acidophilus, which is a what I call a standard probiotic and one of the early and what I call ground probiotic for our health. And I was able to translate those articles, and while I was translating also Bulgarian books. And then in the mid-1970s, I was introduced to Dr. Shahani from the University of Nebraska, and he was telling me that he was doing work on isolating specific microorganisms, specifically L. acidophilus strains that he was testing in his laboratory in Nebraska, and that he wanted to collaborate with me. And in about 1977, 78, the University of Nebraska granted me exclusive license to represent their findings on these microorganisms that they were isolating in the laboratory. The big problem was that most people in society don't know that it's great to isolate microorganisms in the laboratory and put them in government banks so that people can get them, but that doesn't assure that you have the process to scale them up for manufacture. In other words, taking something from the laboratory into actual production stage requires a lot of know-how and experience. And that's where my experience with the family yogurt business was really fundamental in making that leap. The university was never able to supply me with any samples. All they could do is, you know, give me the published data, but they never had any live samples of the L. acidophilus DDS1, which I was the first person to ever introduce this DDS1 bacteria into the United States in the health food stores and start educating about it to the health food industry. And, you know, at that point, people didn't even know the word probiotic. All they knew was Lactobacillus acidophilus. Mm-hmm. In acidophilus cultures, and they felt that if something was not Lactobacillus acidophilus, it had no benefit for the human GI tract. And so I spent the early part of the 1980s lecturing to groups across America in the health food industry, teaching them about acidophilus and introducing them to the concept of bifidobacteria, which was most beneficial for the large intestine. And I collaborated with the foremost authority on bifidobacteria, which was another Yugoslav doctor by the name of Jeremiah Rasic, who wrote the definitive book on yogurt and bifidobacteria with a Swiss doctor. So it was Kerman and Rasic that wrote the book on yogurt and bifidobacteria. And that's like an icon or a Bible for many people in the probiotic industry. So I was a pioneer. I introduced names of microorganisms that people didn't understand. I was privileged to work with some of the best people in the world, like distinguished professor Dr. Haldeman Moore at the Virginia Polytechnic Institute, who did some polytypic characterization tests, and all that means is fancy language, the first identification of these microorganisms on a somewhat genetic level. And so I was dedicated to making sure that whatever we gave to the public or sold to the public was something that is going to benefit each and every person, each and every time they bought it. And there were so many skeptics in the industry. And as a matter of fact, people who were admired and well-known in the industry told me that I need to get help and that they would be happy to give me a name of a person at UCLA for a psychological profile, because I was totally out of my mind if I think that the health food industry is going to accept a probiotics category, because at that time, nobody knew anything about the word probiotics or beneficial microorganisms. All they knew was a liquid acidophilus that was usually an adjunct to a vitamin line. And it was very difficult to teach people about microbiology and actually tell them that the GI tract is connected to every aspect of our health, which includes, you know, vaginal, urinary health, mental health, heart health, and that bacteria are everywhere in the body. That was way before the time that anybody published these findings, and I would get ridiculed by doctors that, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about and that I'm completely discrediting myself because my ideas are so off the wall that people are not going to listen to me. But I still continued my lectures, and I still presented my theories. I still presented the products. And then in 1987, I was approached by the president of the manufacturers division of the National Nutritional Foods Association, or the NNFA, and said, "Hey, you know, this industry doesn't have any standards, and we're thinking about self-regulating. And who better to make a standard, you know, that would be voted on by the entire membership? It would be you, because not too many people understand probiotics, so you would get the least amount of opposition. But we need to get people invested in making standards and start a effort to self-regulate." So being the person I am, instead of taking care of my business, I rolled up my sleeves. And in 1987, started working with the Manufacturing Council of the NNFA and their Scientific Advisory Board, and spent 2 years getting ridiculed, attacked, you name it. You know, it was like I was the worst thing that could happen to the industry, because I was trying to pass the standard. But nevertheless, the standard passed in July of 1989 and was voted on by the entire membership, which included every retailer that was a member of the NNFA, every manufacturer, and that was almost everybody in America, every distributor, every broker, every educator in the health food industry voted on the standard and accepted this probiotic labeling standard and had it as a reference for the industry. And so the minute that standard was passed, we started convening on standards committees and having discussions and how are we going to implement this program. So fast forward to 1994, and still very little implementation had taken place. But we were again trying to rally the industry to pass the all-important Deshaies Amendment, which was the amendment that Congress passed in our favor and gave us the ability to make structure function claims. For those of you who don't know this, before the Duché Amendment, we were really not allowed to say anything about dietary supplements or even food and the impact it has on the individual health. That was something that was solely allowed for drug manufacturers to make any claims of any effect on health. So this really revolutionized the industry. And in order to get this amendment passed, I was again called upon by the industry to reframe the probiotic labeling standard as part of a good manufacturing practices book. And that whole book was read into congressional record in 1995 and was, you know, supported by such people as Jeffrey Bland, Sandy Gooch, Julian Whitaker, and many, many people in the industry that some of you probably wouldn't recognize their name because a lot of things have changed. And in that era, in the 1995, we decided that we were going to implement something called the True Label Program, not just for probiotics, but for every category in the dietary supplement industry. And the reason we felt the implementation of this True Label Program was so important was that we had tested almost every supplement on the shelf and found that 80% of them didn't contain the ingredients they stated on the label. And we said, well, if we're going to change the health of America, we better make sure that the active ingredients are inside the product as they're listed on the label. Mm-hmm. And we started with our True Label program, and I sat on those committees for, I would say, approximately 10 years. And the committee members got sued by other manufacturers, and people were unhappy generally with the program of True Label because they said it was bad for business. And I thought it was very good for business because without self-regulation, we would get into government regulation, and the whole industry knows that that would not be a happy note because a lot of our freedoms would be abrogated to the government for this regulation. And so we pushed forward, and unfortunately for all of us, by the year 2003 or 4, the NNFA fell apart because simply manufacturers did not want to support the True Label program and did not want to come to the trade shows and decided they wanted to do the Expo West and Expo East show where there were no guidelines, everybody could come and exhibit, and everybody felt happy because there was no regulation, no requirement to adhere to any policy or any standard. And I was mortified because I definitely was the person who supported the formation of the Expo West and, in fact, sat nights working on the phone trying to get people to come to the first shows and support my friend Doug Green, who started Natural Foods Merchandiser, New Hope Communications, and the Expo West and Expo East shows. So to me, it was very disheartening, and I'd like to tell the listening audience why, because I have always said and continue to say that the concept of the use of the proper, and note I use the word proper, and selected probiotic microorganisms is the foundation for our health for the 21st century, that these microbes are an integral part of our health. And thank God that science has supported my very early theories that I purported and told people that these microbes are found everywhere in our body, even though 20 years ago the sound medical view was that placenta was sterile, the womb was sterile when the baby was there, the blood was sterile. And I kept saying to them, you don't understand microbes, that they are pervasive and they're an integral part of our being. And that the sooner we start understanding how food, exercise, and the consumption of the right probiotics can have an effect on this microbiota and our microbiome, the sooner we will start getting people healthier and off a lot of drugs that they're taking today. And unfortunately, it really didn't take hold because the probiotic message that I was trying to give to people was not ready for them to receive in that way. They really fell for the marketing aspect, like, who's got the best price, who can make the most outrageous claims, which company can, make his line extensions. And this, to me, was very disappointing because it really held back the movement and the understanding by individuals, especially people in the health food industry, and how important it is for us to understand what the use of these probiotics are and how important they are to our health and why they have to have some kind of form of self-regulation. Otherwise, they're not going to give us the effect that we're looking for. And I think all of us can look at ourselves and say, well, okay, we've had health foods and the concept of health foods for the last 60-plus years around us. And has the health of the nation improved or has it declined? And I would invariably say that the overall health of the nation has declined. And I think all of us need to take a step back and see how we can, you know, apply the what I call rational diets and ask people to follow good diets and take them off the junk food, including the probiotic junk food, that people are adding probiotics to junk food to try to make them more palatable to people who think they're having a health effect by eating a sweetened or a sugar-laden, you know, probiotic product, and that that's improving their health. I think in America, we have to come to the age of maturity to understand how this microbiota operates in our body, how we are really a hybrid of bacteria and mammalian human cells, and why this hybridization of bacteria and our mammalian cells and our genetic material, which is really controlled by the bacteria in our gut, is expressing, you know, our health or our ill health, and how our moods, such as depression, anxiety, and even Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, are related to the health of the ecology of the bacteria that's found in our gut, and that there's not a quick fix solution to these problems. We have to start with healthier parents. We have to start with healthier children. We have to really base our decisions and our recommendations to people in this industry based on, you know, good science, not just science that's published somewhere and that somebody, you know, reviews, but doesn't really have application in our normal lives. I think we're at the point in our life that people have to start making rational decisions and not just take any bit of information as being solid and not have the capacity to evaluate how important this concept of probiotics is to our daily and to our national and international health concepts.
You know, this is so much amazing information, and I think that for many of us, some people are hearing this for the very first time. Today, we're definitely talking about, you know, the history, the journey, the steps, the bumpy road that has been involved getting probiotics to where they are today. And of course, keeping our heart in the right place and our education, our minds in the right place as well, and learning, like Natasha said, to be able to, you know, embrace the quality information that's at our fingertips. We need to make sure that probiotics are brought into our lives in a healthy way, but also healthy probiotics, quality probiotics, along with a great diet and, of course, an activity level that helps to round out the entire part of the whole process of getting healthy from start to finish. Diet, probiotics, exercise, very, very important. It's the healthy trinity that Natasha talks about all the time. Make sure to do your research. This is amazing information, and I don't think a lot of people really understand the journey that's been involved, and we'll definitely talk more about that as well. Today, we live in a world where we have made the unhealthy lifestyle very attractive, very tasty, very palate-loving, and we have left ourselves in a very, very ill state of health. Probiotics are no longer, if they ever were, a necessity. They are a hands-down luxury today for people in some parts of the world, but you know what? They're a necessity all the way, top to bottom. Our lives are better because of probiotics, and if you choose the correct probiotics, your world is going to change forever. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, visit the show on RadioMD.com. Thank you for tuning in. Be well.